talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Space is a place that only a human being locates. Where there's so much information to take, then you enter an entirely new place. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. I'm your host and facilitator, and we welcome you to today's program. We thank you for logging on, and we thank you for taking us with you on your laptop, your notebook, your smartphone, and your iPad, and as well as your desktop. Mobility and connectivity are expanding the range and reach of the Cyberspace Sanctuary and the Blake Radio Network, both the Rainbow Soul and the Music Massage channel, so stay tuned. We started off today's program with a message in the music with Sounds of Blackness, Black Butterfly. And butterflies are icons for metamorphosis and transformation. And it is our goal that the Cyberspace Sanctuary be a vehicle for transformation, metamorphosis, growth, and change. We have an exciting couple as our guests today, dear friends of mine, Herman and Lucy Bingham, who are the principals and founders of Tashika Textiles, and they'll be along shortly to talk about their company, their program, what they're attempting to do worldwide. And so you want to stay tuned for that. Don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, and we're a safe house for your mind here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. We'll be right back following these messages, so don't go anywhere.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
If you are enjoying the programming here on the Blake Radio Network, please log into our website at www.blakeradio.com. Then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up to help keep this venue alive for only 19 cents a day. In order for us to keep bringing you this radio station, we need your support. So log into blakeradio.com, then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up for only 19 cents a day to help keep this radio station on the air. Channel 5, Rainbow Soul. Talk radio at its best.
Junius Ricardo Stanton here with some truly great news. The Blake Radio Network has officially released the new Rainbow Soul iPhone and Android apps worldwide. Now, there is also an HTML version for all other cell phones. The apps can be accessed from www.blakeradio.com on the Rainbow Soul page, or directly from the iPhone App Store or Android Market. These apps will allow you to lock in exclusively to the Rainbow Soul broadcast with the touch of a button. These acquisitions complete the development and release of all the apps for the Blake Radio Network family of channels, which includes Rainbow Soul, the Alt Talk channel, and Music Massage, an eclectic mix of R&B, jazz, soul, and reggae slow jams for your listening edification and entertainment. So take full advantage of this opportunity for connectivity and mobility by downloading your respective app from your source. Continue listening to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul and Music Massage.
Hotep, my name is Renoka Rashidi. I'm an avid fan of and a big supporter of Brother Junius Stanton.
on our program.
Well, thank you. It's an honor and always a blessing.
Tell us a little bit about yourselves and then segue into how the company got started.
Okay. I have a background of in textiles. I'm a textile surface designer, and I'm originally from Kenya. So that's what drew us to doing our project in Kenya. But now I live here in the States, married to an American, so that makes me an American. And so we have the company working both in the U.S. and in Kenya. I am brought up in a traditional way in a big family, and so a lot of things that we do are community oriented. We work together, and that's how that gives us a competitive advantage, because if you were to make this one bag just by myself, I'd be making probably two in a week, and that would be no business. So in terms of business, that has given us a competitive edge. We're able to work with a community of, you know, about 2,000 households in one place. But because of our limitations, we have up to now trained 180, 200 producers. Most of them are proficient.
Mm-hmm. When you say proficient, what do you mean?
I mean that they can make a bag that is sellable, that is good.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that they do tap into their traditional skills, so they know how to knit or weave or crochet. But because we change the styles to suit the global market, then we teach them that the form changes. And so that, and plus they're also using a different fiber.
Oh, okay,
plastic,
right. Yeah. Tell us about that, because that's the innovative part. You're not using traditional fibers or weaving mechanisms with traditional fibers. So that's unique in itself.
Yes. So since 2003, when I came to the U.S. to work with a renowned institution here, I have been going to Kenya every year to develop a textile program. And we're looking at, the government is looking at revitalizing the cotton industry. But as you know, cotton is not an easy crop to grow. And so it's taken time for us to reach a place where we can have enough capacity to provide the material for this people to work with. And so that plastic came in as an opportunity where you have so much garbage in or litter in the environment, because now in the urban cities people have gotten into a culture of packing everything in a plastic bag. And if you go to Nairobi, the capital city, or any other cities, even the rural area, you'll see mountains and mountains of plastic. So in one of our trips where we went to develop our textile product, I found this shopping mat. It's like a Nakumat, which is like a Walmart or Target, that has chain stores of about 35. And so they are into the green environmental project. So they had all these paper bags in the store that says think green and, you know, go blue. So we thought, oh, we could transform this into action as opposed to just sending a slogan message. And so we partnered with them. We showed them our idea that we can make the same traditional bag that is sold everywhere in our plastic, and they loved it.
Well, how did you develop the prototype? I could see you giving your background, then seeing all the readily available plastic. But how did you go from idea to the prototype?
Okay, so one, I have worked with the community for a long time, so I do know the dynamics of working with producer groups. But what I do is take, let's say, the form of one bag, like a traditional bag. I can show you. Like this bag. This is a traditional bag.
Now that's made of what?
This is made out of jute and cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the cotton we're producing. So I take out of this and try to make a form out of it. And I may just tweak something very little. Work on what the bass is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be deep like that, or is it going to be a flat bass? And work with what this is going to look at in terms of measurements. And we may take a little, just a little pleat.
In terms of form.
In terms of form, a little pleat like that may just change a band.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't try to create from start. I create from
what's already there. So you just modify what's already there.
And modify
right,
what's
right.
already there.
Now show us some of the plastic that the new bags are made of. Didn't you have a piece of plastic?
Yes, I have a whole little piece of plastic here. Okay, so we
see, there's to in terms of your question about how the prototype was created, there is the tradition of weaving. It's a very strong tradition, particularly in the group and in the community that we set up in Kenya, in the Makueni Wote, you know,
Eastern Province.
So that was there. So that's why the various designs are traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So
these designs are hundreds and thousands of years old.
Yes, these are traditional designs.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, what's different is we did not create the process of creating a plastic fiber and then creating bags. That had already been done, but no one had taken the project and really commercialized it and developed it on a high level to create, it as a fine art product, it as a high fashion product.
Mm-hmm.
So people now, even today, who see this, some of which are familiar with the process, will say, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the process. I've seen that before. I saw that, 10 years ago. But when they see our product, they say, oh, but it was nothing like yours. So that's what makes it this very distinctive.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to organizing the people, convincing them that there's viability in this and getting them to change from traditional to this, how have you linked with retailers or wholesalers to get the product out?
Oh, okay. Well, all right. First, it wasn't much different. Well, Lucy and her friends had developed a relationship with that community.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a trust, number one. Number two, we've created employment, significant employment in that community through the Cotton Project. Thirdly, we had set up a relationship with them where we understood what was viable based on our experience and based on what they had been producing. And they weren't finding, one, a market for the products. Even people who were producing the plastic products, they were of inferior quality product, but they weren't even finding a market for that. Like, we had a one-off market. We set up with Nakomat, Tuskegee, Chumi, and all the major, which are the names of the major retailers, a international collection program. So one of the things we're proudest of is that we actually set up a national collection program for plastic waste. And that program is based on collecting clean plastic bags at the supermarket. So at the point of sale at the supermarket, there's bins that we've had set up and branded. And so people are encouraged to bring their plastic bag, clean plastic bags, and back to the stores. Also, the commercial organizations, retailers, they have a plastic baling, plastic they use for baling of larger materials and commercial plastic, also the plastic industry. We've connected with all of them, and
mm-hmm.
EPA of Kenya. So those plastic producers and plastic people who distribute it, we've connected with them. We're collecting clean plastic from all of them. We then take it, sort it, and then turn it into a fiber, do the designs, create the orders for our communities as to what we want made, how many we want made, and what styles and fashions, and then they do their creative thing and we produce it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference is, in the past, people who were making these bags from plastic fiber were using plastic from the rubbish and from the yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another, like Lucy says, non-starter and disincentive. So what we're trying to do, we have an intervention whereas people are being encouraged to collect and return and recycle the plastic bags before they become dirty and before they go into the dumpster and then therefore into the environment.
Right.
So
that's
unique.
Yeah. The thing that, in the way Hammond has said it, the uniqueness is that we've had a lot of development projects that try to get the community groups to get an income or to get a running business. So our biggest advantage is that we are producers. Our biggest challenge is that the marketing bit. So, or sometimes even the sourcing of the material.
Mm-hmm.
So here are two things where we bring in. We bring in the marketing aspect of it.
Right.
That, Hammond has been, because I'm a producer, and Hammond has been very helpful in marketing. So that is the biggest missing link, where millions of dollars have been spent on trying to, what do they call it, poverty alleviation. And it doesn't work. So we spend a lot of money on training, and training is easy. We can train people to make bags, but when it comes to selling, that's
right.
Really the biggest challenge.
Right.
And now here again, in terms of material that we needed, cotton that we were working with, we were falling short because it takes a longer time to develop that. Now here we have plenty of material that we can source to work with.
Mm-hmm. Now how do you do, now you have your own process for taking the plastic, the refuse, turning it into fibers. How do you get the vibrant colors?
I was going to say that. So when we started, of course, you look at something and see, oh, they will probably just get colors like this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start to look at, so in Kenya, almost every company wants to identify itself with a different color. So a lot of plastic that is generated is,
So
that's like another advantage. We get vibrant colors and different colors and different textures.
Yes.
So that
we don't have that here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that creates the material itself is actually guiding us in creating different forms, different styles, and different appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to look around, even in the U.S., you begin to see color. The tradition, everything we see is this.
Mm-hmm.
Is what is
right.
Popular. But you'll begin to see, this is Ivan Brothers. Here's the red.
Mm-hmm.
You'll begin to see a lot of color. If you go to ShopRite, it's yellow. And this is now yellow with black, let's say, like from the Yellow Pages. So you'll begin to see a lot of color when you start to do this. Now, the other thing that makes it attractive is that when we get a bag like this, with CBS, that little printing gives us all these speckles of little
colors. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that in itself also forms a design. And so we've been playing with that. Sometimes we make it more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the bag right at the end there, with the blue, more blue than this one.
With right here?
Yeah.
Mm.
So you can see this is more scattered. This is what it does get plainly from a bag like that. That we have added more. So we begin to, the material itself also guides us in the way we design and make these patterns. And then some of these patterns are from the traditional field.
Mm-hmm.
Our traditional patterns, like this one.
Now, have you gotten any feedback or any resistance from using the traditional patterns in this?
Actually, no, mm-hmm. no. The thing is that for our marketing strategy, we've decided not to go very ethnic or very traditional, so that we don't just capture the
right.
small
mm-hmm.
market.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at a more contemporary and a bigger market. Remember, we have to satisfy like 3,000 households or more, 3,000 in one place. So we want to be able to tap a larger market.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, we have found many people who love the traditional.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just in terms of marketing when he's keying in the numbers that you see how many of those are really going to take
mm-hmm.
that and how many will take something
Right. Now, one of our problems as a people, we have great ideas, we have great skills, we know how to make things. in the modern era, the issue has been, in addition to capitalization, distribution. So as a business, how have you resolved the capitalization and the distribution, meaning that will these be in Macy's or Bloomingdale's or whatever at some point?
I'll let Herman talk about the fundraising, the finances, but in terms of will this be Macy's or Bloomingdale's or whatever, is we have two things. We have the market to satisfy, and we also have the people who we want to improve their livelihood. So we don't want to limit ourselves in numbers. So what we have done is develop products for a high-end market, and we've developed also other products for a low-end market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we can make, right now we can make about 2,000 bags a month if we had the ready market to supply.
Right.
So in terms of raising capital.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Basically, our project, we did a business plan through Wharton Small Business Development Center. Lucy has a master's in international development, you know, plus 25 years of experience in the development industry in Kenya. And, you know, I have an extensive business background. So the business plan was a smoker, and it was so strong that the organization there at Penn actually published our business plan in their annual report as their star pupil. But they don't really help you in terms of getting
credit, right.
which is a real misgiving on their part. But also, you find that it's very difficult to get funding if you are not doing technology. If we were doing an app, for example, and we wanted $5 million, and we would have gotten the success that we've already gotten in 1 year. We'd have been long funded. But instead, you know, if you're doing the kind of projects that we're doing, there really isn't much available in the way of funding in terms of so-called angel funds or venture capital or whatever. So what we're doing now is actually, you're reaching out to some organizations in Kenya who are like foundations and funders. We're also working to get sponsorship from corporations in Kenya, because everyone in Kenya understands the plight and the difficulty and the problems caused by this plastic waste. And then we're also looking here in the U.S. For individuals who have a good business mind and social consciousness to be interested in funding and supporting and contributing, to the project. So,
and that amount.
We got seed funding basically to start the project. I mean, it was our original business plan called for $150,000, so we got like 1/3 of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been a struggle. We could be right now. We're in like 15 or 18 stores in Kenya, and we could be in 75. Just in Kenya, we could be in the hotels, we could be, in the high-end stores, but we don't, have the cash flow, to be able to do that. So it's really, the project is blown up. We've had, major national, local, and international media, television. We had a full documentary done on our project that was broadcast on national TV in Kenya, okay? So, I mean, it's blown up. It's a monster, and everyone sees its potential in terms of a business.
In terms of green technology.
As green as a business, as a product, and also, economic empowerment, and as a unique, as a unique product. We go, for example, to the New York Gift Show, which is, one of the major show in the U.S., and there's like, let's say, 4,000 stores are represented, 60 bag makers, and designer, bag designers. And our product will stand up with anybody, and we're in our first year. and we get incredible response, and have gotten incredible response. So we're now have a retail representative for the Philadelphia area. We're now finished vetting the boutiques that we would like to be considered and go into, and we're now contacting them. So we're in retail in a few stores now, but I'm saying we're really looking to, over the next 2 months, be able to move forward with our retail dramatically. Presence. Also, we're doing shows in Germany and in Atlanta in the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
These are major shows that will give us great exposure and hopefully, you know, incredible, you know, great orders, you know, buyers and orders. Mm-hmm. Also,
and you have a web presence?
Oh, yeah, major web presence.
What's your URL for your website?
It's www.toshekadesigns.
All right, spell that.
Tosheka, T-O-S-H-E-K-A, designs.com.
Mm-hmm. Now, can people, in addition to seeing your inventory, can they purchase?
We're on Etsy, and they can also purchase directly through Etsy or directly through our website. Yeah. We're also looking to for sales reps in Washington metro area and New York metro area. That's something we're going
to
be doing.
So how can people contact you to submit their background information, resumes to be sales reps?
They can go to our website and just email. There's an email there, and they can just email.
Now, what type of people are you looking for?
We're looking for people with, creative people, people who have hopefully a background and experience in fashion design and merchandising, and people who also are involved in the fashion industry who have fashion contacts, buyer contacts. You know, those will be the preferable, you know, people. So there's a lot, you know, as you see, going on and a lot done. And, you know, it's been, it's been a blessed experience. The people we're empowering, the people we're working with is fabulous. Lucy has done an incredible job. She is actually trained. Lucy spent 6 months in Kenya last year, but she also trained and got this project up and running remote control by being here. She, I mean, completely. She
well, because there are networks and contacts and everything.
Yeah, well, right. That, and she trained. She actually trained staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a full-time staff in Kenya. And you know who operate the business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so she trained them. This was an incredible. This, you know, there's a lot of books going to be written about this project, and you know, and what we've done, and you know how it's, you know, in terms of the magnitude. We're actually looking to we developed this as a replicable project, a project that can be taken to other environments. Meaning, you know, because throughout Africa, throughout Asia, throughout the world, plastic waste is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that can be done. And, you know, just bags are just one element.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Bags are just one element. We have a whole line of products we'll be making. Bags are just a start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you because just looking at the patterns, it would seem to be that you could make coats, you know, like you just mentioned, hats.
Okay.
So this is the initial stage.
This people see this and they see the business opportunity right away. Meaning, like, wow, this is gonna be, you know, it's gonna be major.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna improve the production
make
it more, production efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that we can produce more than even to be competitive to more than even
right.
A day and help the women. You know, pick up from that tradition of hand weaving to go into weaving through the loom,
making Now, have you developed the fiber such that you can use it on the traditional looms that
yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, and remember that plastic is very, it's very strong. You'll find even some yarn that you pull and can easily break.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
So in terms of running this on a loom is so much easier.
Plus we'll be working with a multitude of fibers. So we'll be working with cotton, wool, jute, the plastic, and combinations thereof. Like this is a combination of, again, of the jute and plastic.
Now what's for people like me that don't know what jute is?
Okay. Jute is a natural fiber. It's a reed. It's the sisal, you know, the jute sisal. Yeah, and that's an example.
What do you use for making rope?
Rope.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So now, this is what you have traditionally.
How are you dealing, because they're, to their credit, the Kenyans were one of the major people, who major country who were dealing, fighting against the genetic organisms in the seeds and things like that. And so have you resolved that? Has the country resolved that in terms of fighting Monsanto or have... You know, because you mentioned cotton, and cotton is one of the main main things that they're doing.
Let me address that. Glad you asked it. I've done a lot of research on, and we also really introduced the growing of organic cotton in the region.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're now working with Cotton Authority and other international organizations who are looking to do larger projects with us in the coming years, next year, in fact. We got a proposal in with an organization called Solidaridad that Lucy put together for, that's going to escalate over 3 years to deal with like 2,000 farmers. We did test sample plots and farms to show the impact of and the effectiveness of organic, growing organic cotton for the farmers. You know, it, one, protects them from the pollution, the chemical pollutants. Two, it gives much better protection. Three, it gives them incentive to grow cotton because they can make much more because they get a better, cleaner cotton, one, and a much greater volume of cotton produced. So that's one, and that was a story of its own because when we first started with it, and we're using... pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers. Thank you. That are coming from local plant life.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
right,
nothing
right.
To import from anywhere.
Mm.
So, but and the important part about this is, and so much of this is true in Africa, is that because of colonization, and, you know, Christianization and Muslimization, we have turned away so much from our own culture and tradition. And much of what will save Africa and save the world in the future comes
really?
From tradition.
Really?
There is, and this particular plant, again, is a local plant. And people knew it, people used it, but then, you know, when the chemicals came along, they were told it was, you know, you can't be using that stuff. It's like here in the United States, cracks me up, where people... You know, we're now, baking soda is such a huge industry. I remember when we were young, people brushed their teeth with baking soda.
Yeah.
But then we were taught, and then after a while, it was like, oh, you can't do that, because that's
crazy.
Put it
in your wife.
That's backwards. That stuff isn't healthy. Now baking soda's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with aloe vera. You know,
a classic example. Look at the proliferation of shea butter.
Oh.
In the past five,
right.
five, six,
10 years.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but aloe vera was the one before shea butter.
Mm.
You know, I mean, we were using it for everything, and that's, you know, witchcraft, backwards, everything.
Mm.
And see, so, I mean, it's very, that kind of backwards thinking is still very prominent, you know, in Africa and in Kenya. You know, so it took us a while to get people to consider using local plant life, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, the Cotton Authority, we couldn't even get a call back for 2 years. And then finally, we made our own breakthroughs, and now, you know, we're there on speed dial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so it's a lot, you know, a lot of it is mental. And one of the reasons we did this project, and are doing the projects we're doing, is because we want to show Africans here in America that they got a home, there's incredible opportunity, and they don't have to stay here and get beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can produce, products and sell them globally. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be at the beck and, you know, call up these, racist institutions. We want to inspire them and let them know that, you know, there is... like myself, I'm a union electrician for 30-some years. But, you know, based on, you know, racism, discrimination, and, you know, exclusion, I've probably only worked, you know, half of 30-some years, you know. So, and have had major periods of unemployment, you know. You know, so it's not a matter of, you know, talent, it's a matter of opportunity.
Right.
And until we change that here, you know, we need to make sure that we create for ourselves. I mean, I came up and you came up in an environment and a community that created for itself and had a sense of its own capacity and would not only create and produce, but operate independently in terms of economic stream. We have to get back to that. And other communities that are built up, they've done it based on that, and we have to get back to that.
You know, the thing about biologically modified stuff,
mm-hmm.
cotton is one of the areas that is one of the five cash crops that the government is pursuing for our Vision 2030. And so it's a big limelight in Kenya. But of course, with Monsanto and all those, there's been a lot of pressure to bring in BT.
Right.
And that's because BT we can harvest in two seasons. The cotton we're growing now, we can only harvest in one season. Like Herman says, for us, I think we're a very big force, and now the government has seen that, because what we're using is so much better than BT, even if they bring in the seed BT. And we are going to be pushing ahead for our farmers not to use the biologically modified cotton, because what it does is
strips the soil,
with the product that we're using, the neem, it actually gives the soil nutrients and makes it even stronger and healthier, right?
Exactly.
You need to describe that.
He
has done more research on that. So whereas they're still skeptical about this, and because the big companies, unlike Toshika, Monsanto is competing
with us,
what we are going to do is that we have the farmers with us. Number one, even affording it. Right now, our farmers grow organic cotton because they can't even afford the chemical.
Wow. Okay.
So by default, we are still doing organic cotton. The thing is that they're producing very little. One, because they don't have the fertilizer or whatever, but they still have the manure and the organic material that we've traditionally used. Our product makes it more competitive because where a farmer was traditionally, fertilizer, and we're going to replenish the water. But that's a war that's coming ahead of us. Because the Monsantos are already there.
They've been fighting for, as you know, for years. And like I said, to their credit, I think Kenya and maybe one or two European countries were the main ones who raised the alarm about it and have been fighting vociferously against it.
Yeah.
So to their credit, I'm hoping the rest of the world wake up.
So we're working with the Kenya Agricultural Research Institute that has been fighting that, but they're getting a lot of pressure, of course,
of all these
big companies lobbying with the government.
Like
now Herman said, we have a speed dial to CODA. So that's something we're also going to push not to be able to use, but I think they are going to introduce it.
How can people hear, who hear this, or who see the video, be supportive of you?
In terms of the
finances?
We're looking for, letters of encouragement, emails. I mean, help. We really do, because it's been a lonely road. There, we've had incredible media and support and response. We're looking for people to make investments if they're in a position to, and be able to get a good return on their investment, because this is going to be a very profitable business. You know, our business, Second Textile, is a social enterprise, but it's also structured as a business. And one of the things that's unique about it is, as Lucy was saying earlier, what the impediments were to community development products made in community development environment was product quality. See, a lot of times what used to happen, people would make products and you'd see a good one, a great one, and say, oh my God, give me 50 of these. But boy, when you got back to the 50, they were like,
right.
Oh God, what the? That's not happening. We have an extremely proficient system of quality control.
Right. Okay.
Now, that's something that's all, and then we have a high fashion product. So we're looking, soon we're going to be doing a Kickstarter campaign. You know, so that's something that people can contribute to. We're going to be launching it next week, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a very significant way in which people can contribute, you know, $10, $50, $100, $1,000, you know, and get rewards. You know, also again, private investment, or if they are aware of funding sources that we should, you know, approach or tap into. Also organizations like the Deltas or Gammas, Betas,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can invite us to events where we can present and sell our products,
mm-hmm.
okay? Home shows. Home shows is something we're very interested in doing. You know, people organizing a home show for our products. And we compensate, you know, them and give them a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a myriad of ways that people can specifically contribute. And of course, go on our site, review our information, and buy the products.
Mm-hmm. Give us your URL,
yes.
and your email address,
certainly.
And a phone number,
certainly.
So people can follow through, because
okay.
I'm sure once they see these products and discover the potential for themselves. I mean, because I believe in the win-win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, our URL is www.tosheka, that's T-O-S-H-E-K-A, designs, plural, .com. Email is tosheka@toshekadesigns.com. And contact number 215-387-2742. 215-694-9006.
All right, now, because this is internet, and I don't know,
mm-hmm.
the range is virtually unlimited.
That's true.
How far are you prepared to go? Say someone in Kansas City, or someone in...
Mm-hmm.
Trinidad, or someone in London, contact you.
This month we're going to be in Germany,
mm.
you know, with a trade show. We also, as Lucy mentioned, Ethical Fashion is an organization in London that we're working with. It's an international fashion organization. So we're taking this global.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
someone in London has an interest, wants to have a home show.
We wouldn't able to do that. But what they could do, if they're in London and they want to support it, they can do some of the other things I mentioned. Plus, they can find and contact us and send us information on retailers locally or boutiques whose shops we should be in, and send us the information and we'll follow up.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the easy way.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Give us that information, and we'll go. I'll let you go because I don't want to risk my battery going out.
Okay. www.toshekadesignsplural.com 215-387-2742 Email toshekadesigns@toshekadesigns.com
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Or info at toshekadesigns.
Yeah, either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there are many ancillary benefits for people being exposed to what you do. Number one, young people can, they need to see entrepreneurs that look like them.
For sure.
There are people who need to understand how to apply green technology. You know, so much, it's out there, but
right.
yeah, but you need to, okay, this is what we're doing, this is how we can do it.
This is real.
Yeah, this is real. So how can, are you available for lectures, oh, yeah, workshops, things like that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So
we've done, we did a presentation at a senior center. In fact, I'm going today to deliver some bags,
mm-hmm,
a couple of weeks ago in Jersey, you know, and they, you know, they love the bags, and they, you know, we, Lucy presented and our staff presented about the project. Yeah. Plus, you know, online you can, there's a lookbook, there's a PDF, a PowerPoint,
mm-hmm,
you know, so there's a lot.
Okay.
You know, the news articles. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, give that, and then we'll let you go, because it's, according to this meter, it's getting down.
We do have a Facebook page.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
Yes, we would love some followers. Our Facebook is facebook.com/Tosheka Textiles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing they could do. They could follow us. We do have a Twitter, Tumblr, so we have the whole social media,
mm-hmm,
networking.
Okay. Now spell it again so people are clear.
Yeah.
And the emails and the things don't bounce back and all that.
Yeah. So the Tosheka is T for Tom, O for Orange, S for Sam, H for House, E for Egg, K for King, and A for Apple. D E S I G N S. So spells designs. So it's ToshekaDesigns.com. For our Facebook page, it's Tosheka Textiles. Facebook.com/Tosheka Textiles. And in there you can follow us. You can see us on our YouTube videos, tweet, and all that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, as always.
Our guests were Herman and Lucy Bingham, the principals and founders of Tosheka Textiles. And if you want to get a firsthand look at the quality and the types of bags and the type of material that they produce, now they don't have their clothing. At this point, they're just doing the bags, the various kinds of bags, and wallets, pocketbooks, message bag, laptop, notebook holders, things like that. You can get more information at www.ToshekaDesigns.com. That's TOSHEKADESIGNS.com. And you can see the interview that you just heard on Vimeo at http://vimeo.com/59262818. That's vimeo.com/59262818. And you can also see the same videos that are embedded in some of the Ning platforms that I contribute to: blacklistpub.ning.com/video/Tosheka Textiles, also haramberadio.ning.com/video/Tosheka Textiles. Same thing with Living in Black, wacptv.ning.com/profile, and then you put in Junius Ricardo Stanton, and then a lot of my videos will come up. And so we're actively using the technology and the media to get our message out, to tell our story, because we cannot depend on anyone else to do justice to our struggle, our story, and our essence. This is something we must do to right the wrong. And so we encourage you to go to those various sites. We encourage you to be supportive of the people that you hear about here on Rainbow Soul. All the hosts are working diligently and assiduously to bring you information, much of which you will not find anyplace else. Rainbow Soul has a long history of being innovative in its programming, and we are coming back, we're resurging. There are more hosts coming on all the time. We encourage you to be supportive of Rainbow Soul and prior to leaving, we will have a message so that you know where you can send your contributions. You can do it on PayPal. You can also send your checks or money order directly to Neil, and we'll provide that information prior to sign-off. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and it's my pleasure to continue to contribute and share here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. And we encourage you to tell your friends, be supportive, and drop me a line if you want to comment, jrswriter@comcast.net. You can also check me out on Facebook, you know, like they say, like us on Facebook, so that we get a feel for who's out there, who's listening, and how we can increase our share of listenership and also give you the type of programming that you come to enjoy and expect on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. And as we prepare to leave the set, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton reminding you, free your mind, the rest will follow. Engage in mental decolonization. Till next time, stay strong.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com. Or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
Cyberspace is a place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates. No denomination, faith dominates, and no court is going to try.